Sound Falls, everyone. It's great to see all of you. What a great crowd. Warming up with some good music, some warm ideas, warm thoughts, warm hearts. Just think warm.
And it's because it's actually warm.
It is warm. It's been a warm day. And I'm glad to see all these familiar faces. We're going to have a great evening. Some diverse musical sounds coming at you at Sound Falls.
Like we've got a harp up here.
We have Ilian pipes, which looks more like Ilian, but it's just pronounced Ilian. Ilian.
Ilian pipes. Like Bob
See, Ilian. I'm still learning.
Ilian pipes.
So, Byron is 47 today. Sorry. And,
That's another, isn't it another, like, prime of life?
Well, I think
is
we should talk about that.
Only by itself and one?
Oh, it is a prime.
Is it
and
prime?
I think this is also the 7th annual Sound Falls celebration of Byron's birthday and the inspiration for the show. I'm thinking about this time in our lives, middle age. And, you know, it is a time when in some people's lives things settle down a little bit and you start to get to know each other a little bit better, like little secrets and stuff like that start to crop up. You know, we've been busy finding jobs, maybe even they turn into careers. And I know these days it's kind of hard to have a career. Maybe there's, you know, you start a family. And then you start to, little things that are inside of you start to bubble up, little secrets that you had or hopes that you had. And, you know, Byron surprises me all the time anyway, if you can imagine. so it didn't surprise me when Christmas morning a couple years ago, he presented Julia with a gift that made him absolutely giddy. Julia was pleased. She was happy. It was a bright squash yellow remote controlled airplane. His smile was like this. And Julia was happy, you know. And it was a way for Byron to say to Julia, you know, I really love you and I love time with you and this is how we're going to do it. Julia had seen that airplane apparently at the store and she said she really wanted that. So he went out and got it for her. But see, that's not all. Because what happened is he turned around and pulled out this package just like the one that was just opened, and he opened it, and it was another one, identical to the gift that he had just given her. So I thought, okay, there's more of this than I realized. Okay, what's going on here? So I asked him, what does this mean? You know, what does it mean? You know, it was pretty amazing how he had come to life with this, and you know, Byron grew up building model airplanes. He had about 100 of them when he was a kid, and hanging in his room, and he built them all. And it didn't dawn on me that none of them flew, but that's what he said. He said, Marin, don't you realize this one flies, and I've always wanted a plane that flies. And I thought that was pretty cool. And so he and Julia have been out there flying airplanes together, and it's a really fun thing to see. So there's a song that I played. I have a set of students, piano students, who take lessons from me. And I played this song at our recital last weekend. We held it at the Tolt United UCC and Church in Town. And I chose this song to play for my students. And but as I was playing it, getting ready for this show and thinking about Byron, these words started bubbling up in me. And so what I'm going to do is play this song called Lady Bird, and it's by Tad Dameron, with my words. Here's a little intro. Imagine bubbles floating across the sky. Airplanes. Little boy. Okay, here we go. I don't know why I work so hard. I've had a dream that stays oh so buried. I see no end to this. When I could have my bliss, watch the skies as they soar in the air. They can climb so high. I've toiled many days. I didn't think it could be true. I feel so young like a kid again. I can really fly, oh yeah. Okay, enough about Byron and me. I want to hear these young artists. So let's get, I have a little duet going. Isn't that right? Is that what's next? With Audrey, and then Elsie. So this is Audrey Dombeck.
I'm Audrey Dombeck, and I will be playing March by Peter Tchaikovsky.
Rachel Rigsby.
The song is called Good Night.
Could you tell us a little bit about where you got your instrument and when you started?
When I started, when I was 9 years old, and I started harp because we had some friends, and their oldest daughter played the harp, and when we went to visit them, I would sometimes play around on it and just figure out some tunes, and one day I said, hey, I want to learn to play the harp, and because it cost so much, my parents waited a while to make sure I still wanted to, and I did, and so they got me my first harp.
Wow. So how old are you now?
I am 14.
Okay, so 5 years.
About 5 years.
You're excellent.
Four and a half.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you so much for giving your time to the show tonight.
You're welcome. Okay, great.
So we're going to get set up here for Raleigh. And yeah, like just a few people want Raleigh to come up on stage. And of course, it's not just Raleigh. You'll see there'll be quite a few people, and I'm going to ramble on. In fact, I will keep talking until they all get up here just a little bit.
Actually, I would like to mention that Raleigh has been here once before, and he is going to be sharing with us tonight 5 original songs and an a cappella duet of an Iron and Lace wine song. Iron and Wine song. Of an Iron and Wine song. Raleigh's vocals and guitar have been building, let's just say, over the last few weeks as he appears at various, I guess, how many open mics have you been at, Raleigh?
Too many to count, but don't tell my wife.
So you'll find him in all kinds of places, let's just put that.
Yeah.
And with us this evening, we'll also have Dan Horn and Raleigh's dad, JD, and Robert.
It's kind of a family jamboree.
Yes, this is a family jam.
A jamboree, because my niece, Rachel, and then my dad will play trombone with me, and Dan's starting to feel like family. We've been rehearsing so often. But, and I want to thank Byron and Marv for creating this beautiful community space for people to meet in. I love looking out to see people that I know and from town and everything. And it's just it's a great space to be in. And a lot of what I write about and sing about is really rooted right here in this community. So you may recognize the names of places or if you come back and hear me sing another time, people. There's actually somebody who's not here tonight that I'll save a song that mentions him by name for another night. So, Farmer Eric over at Jubilee. But the one place I'd like you to catch in the second verse, Thayer Barn. So, I don't know if that's going to come across in the lyrics, but Thayer Barn is a barn that's north of here. So, anyways, that's what I'm saying. I hope you all pick that up. New mother stops in just for a peek, soothe the racing heart, just watching him sleep. How could anybody so beautiful be so small? She's a liar when she says she won't let him change or grow up at all. She can't outrun the rain. She can't outrun the rain. She can't outrun the rain. You can't outrun the rain. You can't outrun the rain. You can't outrun the rain, you can't outrun the rain.
Thayer Barn, couple miles north of my place, still greets the sun in the south with its weathered and peeling face. They raised some money trying to save it, but it's funny how change will have its way. Holes in the roof grow bigger and softer every day. Holes in the roof grow bigger and softer every day. You can't outrun the rain. 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 No matter how fast or far you run, can't stay ahead of the weather. No matter how fast or far you run, you can't stay ahead of the weather. Two lovers at the age of 17 held on to each other through the years, lean and green. Three happy children, lovely to the wallpaper peels in the powder room. Morning comes when he calls to her, but she can't answer him. Morning comes when he calls to her, but she can't answer him. She can't outrun the rain. She can't outrun the rain.
Just a little bit of that in there. Okay, so Dan's going to come on up and get set up. And I have really enjoyed learning about the Ilian pipes. And the sound that they make is so much sweeter than bagpipes, an instrument of war, really. But the Ilian pipes are designed to be played in smaller spaces. They remind me of fairy music. I met Dan at an open mic, and his band, Fire Inside, Celtic band of six people, were tearing it up for 45 minutes, and I said, I think I need to meet that guy, get his phone number. So that's how he wound up here. And this is a song that is, I hope it's not a hopeless song, but it's a little dark, and to me it feels a little bit like an incantation against the insanity of grief and loss, hard to explain, you know. Cycles of grief and joy, and the grief part is hard, especially when you're a parent. So I've been lucky in that regard. In my own family, I haven't had to deal with that, but I've seen many of my friends go through it. So I guess there's a little of that in here.
Oh, children, in the light of the dawn, I saw your mother, she come and gone. She come and gone, come and gone. children. In the light of the dawn, I saw your mother. She'd come and gone. Come and gone. She'd taken the form of a big black crow, and I watched her shadow skim the snow. Skim the snow. Now I sit and wait with the cold, cold moon on a mountain high, a mountain high. Still waiting and watching for her across the sky, across the sky. Oh, Father Time, make me a knave. I'll take that morning to my grave. Oh, my sons, raise your voice. Call your mother back to her boys. The wound is clean, but the wound is deep. The wound is clean, but the wound is deep. And I just can't find a way. I just can't find a way. I just can't find a way. I just can't find a way to begin to heal. To begin to heal. To begin to heal. To begin to heal. To begin to heal, oh, to begin to heal. When I dream and I wake, when I dream and I awake, when I dream and I awake, when I dream and I awake. Feel black feathers on my face.
Snoqualmie people talk about Moon the Transformer. I think that's what that means on their slogan. And there's a lot of, I guess there's cleansing and transformation too, I suppose. At least it's a story to explain to the kids. And this song, like many, is pretty personal for me. So, you know, the dad in the song is real. And he's right there. The song's called Wisdom. The second one was called The Wound. This one's called Wisdom. The first one was called The Rain. I guess that makes sense. Probably gotta figure that one out. Mm-hmm.
Now's the time in my life when I realize. Now's the time in my life when I realize. I know wrong from right. I know wrong from right. I know wrong from right. Cause I've been on both sides of that line. I've been on both sides of that line. I've been on both sides, been on both sides, been on both sides of that line. Now it's time in my life when I realize. Now's the time in my life when I realize. Mom and Dad gave me all they had. Mom and Dad gave me all they had. Mom and Dad gave me all they had. But they wanted me to want more. They wanted me to want more. They wanted me to want more from my life. They wanted me to want more. They wanted me to want more. They wanted me to want more from my life. Not a bigger house, not more things, more peace, more joy, more wisdom. Not a bigger house, not more things, more peace, more joy, more wisdom. More peace, more joy, more wisdom. More peace, more joy, more wisdom. Maybe something to sing about, something to sing about, something to sing about today. Oh, something to sing about, something to sing about, something to sing about today. Today. My daddy gave me this voice, and he put this guitar in my hands. He didn't give me any choice. Said, son, you're gonna need these things when you're a man. When you're a man.
Thank you, Dad. And Mom. All right. That's a break for us. And I'll be back to play three more. One more with Mar and one with Dad. So, entree. Ooh.
Thanks, Dad.
So, as you might also know, here in town, we do have an IGA store, which is fairly new, right? IGA, and it's a special store for me because my grandfather was one of the first IGA folks out there, actually. And so I grew up in his IGA store and in his old truck selling watermelons out of the back and produce here and there and farmers' eggs and you name it. And along with his store, when we finally did sell it, were some records, about 20. And they were all probably from the early 1960s, and they were meant to be played at certain times of the year in the store. So as you were shopping, you would hear these things. And so we're going to do two what they call coffee breaks from the IGA. So these are real. I didn't make them up, right? Right? Okay. They're real. They are from IGA. And they're pretty stunning, and they're very helpful. They will help you save a few pennies if you listen close. Few ideas on the use of starch from the man who owns and operates your IGA food store. When starching clothes from ironing, try this method. Turn the clothes inside out and then starch. Iron the clothes on the right side and your iron won't stick or gather starchy residue. Also, did you know that if you get starch streaks on dark clothes, you can avoid the problem by mixing some leftover breakfast coffee with your starch.
Take a little coffee break time. We've got a little clue that might make housework easier for you.
From IGA today, a couple of tips from the monarch of the American diet, the egg. Next time you fry eggs, douse the eggs with a little flour. This browns the eggs and keeps that fat from popping out of the skillet. And if you drop an egg onto the floor before you get it into the skillet, don't try wiping it up. Shake a generous supply of salt on the gooey mess, let it dry, and then, suggests your IGA store owner, you can sweep it up with a broom.
Take a little coffee break time. We've got a little clue that might make housework easier for you.
Oh, yes. Truthfully there, the IGA tips. I've got a lot of them, and I've saved about $1.37.
Byron's asking me if he should do it, and I don't know what that is. I'm just saying, yeah, it's your birthday. Let's see what it is. Should we vote?
Feldspar. Feldspar, that's what it is.
Feldspar. Feldspar. We got all night, Byron, right? But there's birthday cake upstairs. There's a lot of birthday cake upstairs. That cake can't wait.
Well, that's, I say, why not eat insects?
One thing.
I do a lot in the outdoors.
You might know me. You might have seen me out there in the outdoors. I have a few tips. I bring a few tips here to all of you. Every show about how to survive. And of course, we know after the last week the last week of fairly clear weather, but before that, the last week was only clear at certain altitudes. Now, you have to keep that in mind, that it is clear somewhere, and it is up there. It just depends on where your cloud layer is, okay? So that's psychologically a tip that I provide to you. Where? Find your personal cloud layer. Identify that, and you will make it through the storm. Okay, it's very important. The other thing first of all, I want to say that I've climbed, if you look at the mountains over here, some call them the Cascades. I don't. I call them the mountains. That's an easy way for me to remember where they are and which way I am. But I've been up them all, and I want to provide you a few tips about how to get through things like that. One thing, if you're going to be up a mountain, have anyone been up a mountain before? We're in a valley now. A few people have been up mountains. Well, you want to travel light. Now, here's the way feldspar travels light. First, here's a tip for traveling light. You might have seen, if you read Backpacker magazine or Backpacking magazine or Packbacker magazine, any of the magazines that are so popular out there with outdoors people, you might have read this tip. To cut off the handle of your toothbrush. Does that sound familiar? To save weight. To save weight. Travel light, right? You want to travel light. That's no good. That's a short-term solution. Here's, and this is what I come tonight to impart to you from my years of experience out in the mountains. I also, if you gaze upon those lesser mountains I call hills, I've climbed those trees limb by limb. Just an FYI on that. Every one of them, know them all. So, toothbrush handle. Yeah, it sounds like a good tip. That's an idea I'm going to write down, you say, if I'm going packing in those mountains. Well, here's the feldspar complete plan. This is what I bring to you. Traveling light. You don't even take a toothbrush at all. Like, you don't, it's, why do you want a toothbrush? No toothbrush. What does that mean? Well, that means you don't brush your teeth. What does that mean? That means that you will no longer have teeth. And you'll be traveling even lighter. And without teeth, what cannot you do? He says in a pseudo-Miltonic inversion. What cannot you do? Without teeth, you cannot eat. Correct. And when you do not eat, what do you lose? Exactly. And you're traveling lighter. This is a plan. It's not a cut little toothbrush. That doesn't work. This is a plan, a life plan. So, if you're traveling really light, like I like to, then when you get up into the mountains, all you need is wait for the tempest to blow, and it'll tumble you across the land like a tumbleweed. And you need not expend any more energy, which is why you eat in the first place, mostly. So you travel light and you blow, get blown by the winds. That's a life plan. Light and follow the winds. I bring you this. I also bring you a little advice when it comes to humor. Again, keeping it light. You only really need to carry so much in your mind when you're out there. Some of those things are parts of jokes. So here's what I keep with me when I'm out traveling light, blowing, tumbling, the wind and dust is scurrying about me. I say, don't know, but do you know anything about gas ovens? That is the part of the joke I retain. There's no need for the rest. Likewise, this favorite, why did the horse walk up to the schoolmaster. Again, that's it. You don't need to retain more to travel light in this world. I also like these tips because they are another key in our busy, bustling world to solitude and keeping yours. Because if you do act like this, you will be on your own, pretty much. And here's another thing. I'm going to get it in my handy suitcase that will really keep them at bay. I did talk about food. You can get these from the Park Service. Or from the dog park down in Maramore. So I do eat. One must eat. Must one not? Another Miltonic conversion of sorts. These blue bags are distributed for free. That's another point, which I'll bring up in my financial advisory section later. This is also in one, again, traveling light. What thing can do many things for you? This one thing, used by dogs, by humans in low-impact areas, also carries my food. And believe me, if you pull one of these out and munch on it in a crowd, you will gain solitude. The only trick is well, fiber is a constant in this universe, so keeping them straight isn't such a big thing after all. Well, I'm Felspar. I'll be back next time with some tips on how to live light, live clean, live green, and keep a high fiber diet. Thank you very much. Stay safe throughout the winter.
Sometimes something calls to me. And I can sit for hours watching the water hurry by. Like to watch the kingfishers calling, dragging the feathers across the sky. One day I let the sun burn down behind the hill, and the light turned strange, and the light turned strange, and the light turned strange, and I heard the voice of the river. She whispered my name. Said, come on out on the bridge, throw yourself in. Oh no, oh yes. I said, I ain't going swimming. Water's cold, dark, and fast this time of year. I said, I love you, river, but I ain't ready to die today. Oh, no. but it made me wonder. But it made me wonder how high this year. How high this year. Eric showed the man with the clipboard the line on the barn wall. That's where, by the grace of God, the water began to fall. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Oh, no. Oh, yes. Thank God, Mr. Magno, she's baby's got a clear path. One night we drove 60 head down the state highway at 3 a.m. in the rain. And it made me wonder. And it made me wonder how high this year. How high this year. How high this year. How high this year. So when I leave this place, bring my white body down. Dig a hole and lay my bones in the soggy ground. Maybe it won't be so high that year.
Still waiting to see how high this year. Keep an eye on the hillsides. Okay, Dad and Marin, come on out, guys.
I forgot how high the corn and the fire flies, and how warm stayed at night. I thought that I had arrived when Grandpa John let me drive. New DeVille, his new DeVille, how it shined in the street lights. He drove a truck long haul for 30 years and cautioned me to watch out for those tires against the lines at night to see if they were coming over. Coming over, coming over to me. Coming over, coming over, coming over to me. We carry round all the sights, the taste, the touch, the feel, the smell. Of all the days passing over us, we're so charmed by the lights of smoke, the chimes of bells, and the spells that we cast upon one another. We stumble to these caves, we pour it, we drink it, we get it out. The spoiled fruit and the gathered seeds of the earth, we grow so light, so dizzy and so light. We wanna fly, we wanna fly, but we're always crashing to the ground, crashing to the ground. crashing to the ground. Crashing to the ground. And I can't forget what I learned one day at the low tide. Can't forget what I learned one day at the low tide. Think we move like starfish in the end to the wet and the dark. I think we move like starfish in the end to the wet and the dark.
Thanks. My dad, I think, yeah, that trip at 17 was pretty important. Washington's a great place, but I'm glad to have been born in Indiana in a lot of ways. Okay, this, oh yeah, okay, it's time to sing. And this is my best friend, Rob Petrie. Petrie is a very good singer, and I have hornswoggled, bamboozled, and bushwhacked him into this.
This song, I downloaded. It was free. It's not illegal. A few years ago, and I kind of fell in love with it, and it really reminds me of living in the valley, which is something I never thought I'd ever do. Because somewhere down the line, I just think I'm a city boy at heart, but this one kind of spoke to me. So. Ready?
All right.
All the way through?
I think so.
In our days we will live like a ghost will live. Pigeon flies at the cornfield crows and fold in close like stubborn boys across the road. We'll keep everything. Grandma's gun and the black bear cloak. They took her dog. And when Sister Lowry says amen, we won't hear anything. The 10-car train will take that word, that fledgling falling house across the way. It'll keep everything. The baby's breath, our bravery wasted, and our shame. And we'll undress beside the ashes of the fire. Our tender bellies are wound around in baling wire. All the more a pair of underwater pearls than the oak tree and its resurrection fern. In our days we will say what a ghost will say. We gave the world what it's offered, and what we get, like stubborn boys with big green eyes, we'll see everything. And the timid shade of the autumn buzzard's wing. And we'll undress beside the ashes of the fire. Both our tender bellies wound in baling wire, all the more a pair of underwater pearls than the oak tree and its resurrection fur.
That's hard, but pretty. Thank you.
It is beautiful to hear just the human voice, isn't it? Like that? Very simple and very complex. And singular, even when there are more than one singing or speaking. And I've been thinking, you know, being at another birthday circling around, I think a lot about voice and, you know, where mine came from, to be self-centered about it, or where others came from. How do we all develop these things called our voices? Not the physical vocal cords, but kind of how we express ourselves. Well, it's been kind of a wild week out here in the Northwest, as you know, with the trees coming down, and if you take a hike up the park out here, It is a different park now, on the hillside anyway. They're clearings, but there used to be a pretty dense thicket of the Douglas firs that were probably 60 to 80 feet high. They're now. They're cut up, fallen down. And we had in our front yard shore pine, which grows on the coast, the San Juans, there are a lot of them. And they get really gnarly, and the wind breaks at those and tears at them almost constantly out there. And ours got a lot of the ice, and finally, probably during the last part of that, when there was just enough wind, toppled over like this. And today, Toby Malloy came over with some rope. And he brought his son, Arrow, who's about that tall. And so Arrow and Toby and I tried to right this tree. And we, you know, it's not a small tree, but it's not 50 feet high either, but it's a 6 to 8 inch trunk, you know, it's heavy. Kind of puts us as humans in our place when you just think, that's just a little tree. Well, not really. Look at these beams here in the barn, you know, the wood that's around us here. That great strength. Watch those trees grow for about 1,000 years. And we rigged up this thing where we had, you know, rope on the top, a tow hook from the car, and actually an old sailing ship's wooden pulley that I'd happened to find in the basement. And I drove, attached that to the car, and we drove the car down the driveway, and the tree came back up. And I had to cut a few branches off to make it stay there and get its balance again, but it had made it. And Errol was remarkable because he was playing, and just a little, last time I saw Errol, he wasn't even talking, really. And this time he was talking about fish and turtles and saying, these steps are tall. Look at that birdhouse. There's a big bird. Just an explosion of language was coming out of this little guy that I didn't know in that way before. And at one point, he climbed up to the top of our two or three porch stairs, and we all kind of looked at him, kind of like we looked at the mic here that was teetering. And sure enough, he tumbled back sort of softly into the grass and came up like, wordless, you know, one of those wordless, what happened, surprise, I might be hurt, kind of come here, but I don't know if I need you really, but kids' expressions and eventually cried, you know, but he lost his words there. And that silence was somehow noticeable before he started really bawling. So it was neat to see that young voice. And I think back, of course, and we all can, to kind of those early voices we knew, our parents, grandparents, close family, friends, brothers and sisters that affected us. And how we speak and how we use our language and what music we listen to and when and how we drummed our hands on the floor in camp songs or when we'd stomp our feet during those awkward square dance classes in grade school. Everything brings a rhythm or a sense of voice and language and cadence to your life, I think. My mother was, of all things, has a practical degree, a master's degree in the interpretation of literature, which is by reading it aloud. That was her trade. I think I'll get a nice practical degree, I'm sure she thought. Yes, I'll read literature aloud. Or is it out loud, Meredith? I have one of my editors in the audience tonight, and she has taken this, all this you've seen tonight, and kind of nicely shaped it up. Do it good, and do good sentences for me. And so I grew up in a house where that was being done, reading. And she would try on things like, how about this? And she'd do this reading about going to school, and then suddenly she would kind of shut up about this. And look at this, this is my mom, right? Because she was talking about how she made her sandwich for lunch and was kind of sneaking it before lunch, but then forgot to put lettuce in it to moisten it. It was all peanut butter, and she was getting it caught in her mouth, right? And that was my favorite one, of course. I love it. So funny. Oh, my gosh. So I tried it myself, you know, literally going to school. And I fed some to the dog, and that was a problem. And grew up with words and things and performance like that. My father was actually a pastor, as some of you might know, so I grew up with that being formed. And as I reflect on my birthday, just who, you know, the kind of language and things that was around like that. Apparently also when I was young, and I hardly remember this as a person, picturing any of this, but I remember the sound. There was a woman in Kentucky, back where the Dulcimer was made, next to us, who used to put her laundry out on the clothesline, and she would belt out these amazing old spirituals. I just went away, out there, putting out this laundry in the light breeze, perhaps, of the Kentucky hills in Mount Sterling. And I remember that sound. And so as I kind of grew up and decided to choose an instrument, I started playing guitar. Actually, Mel Bay, if you've ever heard Mel Bay before? Mel Bay himself sold me my first guitar. He lived in St. Louis, and it was Mel Bay Music. That's weird. And he sold me, because I remember his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 fingers in the books and all that kind of thing. And there's Mr. Bay. And I picked out a nice beginner's Yamaha for me. And I would carry that giant guitar for a 6-year-old to school and then over to the Dahlbergs' house. The Dahlbergs were my music teachers in those days. And so while I took guitar lessons with Mr. Dahlberg, my sister would take piano with Ms. Dahlberg. And then since I was waiting, kind of listening to her, we kind of decided maybe to flip. So I would do both. And in retrospect, that's how I got the chords down and felt the changes, as it were. And learned the melody as well on the piano, kind of the notes. They kind of put those together for me early on, which is why the accordion just seemed like a natural later on. And that was an interesting thing. And I found the trumpet really up in Grandma's attic, and it kind of chose me as well, because it was there. I didn't have to go through the whole list of orchestral instruments, bands, instruments, and try to choose something. There was an old cornet up there that my mother played. It was probably from the late 30s, early 40s. And I just loved that thing. And started tooting on it, and I'm sure everyone was crying except me. I was pretty joyful. But eventually you pick those things up, and you start getting experience with musicians. and going to concerts and think to the concerts you've been at and where you first were struck by the sound of something. And later, as I followed the trumpet, both classical and jazz, I had a great, amazing opportunity to see Dizzy Gillespie in a small venue in Philadelphia. And, I mean, Dizzy Gillespie, right? He's one of the masters of jazz. Big cheeks popped out. Like, this guy was just eccentric, screeching high notes and everything. And I was sitting next to a guy at the show, and we started talking. He was there with the Philadelphia newspaper. And he said, you know, if you're a trumpet player, why don't you just go meet Diz? I'm like, well, I don't know if I really need to meet him. See him right here. He's from right on stage. Kind of nervous, right? But nonetheless, because this guy had a press pass, he says, well, you're a trumpet player. You should meet Diz. So I went and met Diz. You go through a door and then another door, and someone makes sure that you, who you are, you say you are, and you go back into another room. And it was an entirely white room with those tiles on top, acoustic tiles with the holes in them. And there in the corner, in the black suit with a fez, was Dizzy playing into the corner. You know? It's pretty amazing. And he didn't like turn around and say, hey, how you doing? He just played. It's like, and he turned around and he said, well, hi, how are you? And anyway, got on with that. Met him, I have some picture, like, stilted picture of, hi, dude. It could have been Elvis and Nixon. It could have been anyone. Either. But there was Dizzy, and I touched this master. And then there was a time with Miles Davis. Now, Dizzy played right at you, and his horn shot up in the air, and he was screeching those notes out. And Miles Davis played with his back to the audience a lot. He would say, yeah, and then here we get another tune. Like that kind of thing. And he would, and then occasionally he'd walk around over here and he'd go, but it'd be the perfect note. Dizzy was doing all kinds of stuff. And bebop, and Miles was like, beep, buddy, beep. And that was his voice, his style. And it really got me thinking, those two guys really started me thinking, how did they develop differently? How did they get there? And the trumpet and all these instruments kind of became part of me in that way. And you feel, you know, music, and you listen to people, and you listen to things, but you never forget those early voices and those early sounds and melodies you hear. And there's a time also when you, I've been frustrated, and many of you have, like, okay, especially with writing, right? What is my voice? There's a style out there. They're great writers. They're great musicians. Why can't I play just like them? And I think I've tried, and I've always failed, and it's been humbling, and you get mopey, and you put things down, and you quit, and that's a lot of times when novels get burned, you know, and instruments get quit, abandoned, put up in the attic, perhaps, for someone else to try. But I'll leave you with this thought, that, you know, our voice is shaped by everything that really has happened to us, good and bad. Everything that you have experienced is part of you. And that, of course, is going to be different than the next person, than the next, and the next. And your own certain way of processing that is different again. And that's, I think, how we're we evolve as people and creators. Musically and in language and in speaking and how we feel the beat and feel the cadence of something. And, you know, we heard it certainly with the wonderful songs of Raleigh tonight. Just his voice, his style of music, what he can't help but write and come out of him. And as I strolled, I did an early morning run on my birthday, which I often do. As I ran up through the park through this new clearing, you know, all the trees have been reshaped also. If you look at all the trees, they are the result of kind of the same thing. Some of them have been torn down, parts of them. Some of them were split in half because of this storm and other winds. They're too shaped like our voices by what happens to them. And so I've been reflecting on turning 47, on how I became to do what I do and express myself as I do, and all those things, strengths and weaknesses and the questions of such. I've been looking at the trees a lot and really kind of felt there were some answers there about what had been torn away. The weak things have been torn away. They've been shaped differently. And even with the dulcimer, you heard at the first part of the show, that big knot hole that I pointed out, you know, there was a branch there. If you look at that dulcimer, there are ripples of wood there that were formed by the small breaths of wind as well as the hurricanes and extratropical typhoons we get and the ice storms and the rain. The wood itself grows. Because of these things that happen. So I'll just lift that up for you tonight as a little bit of a thought and a part of a semblance of a story about how I think and am thinking about how we all come to be and seek our creative self. So there's not an absolute, of course, voice you should have if you're a writer, voice you should have as a singer, or voice you should have and a style you should have as a songwriter, or as a tap dancer, or as a harp player, or as an Ilan pipe player, or as someone who runs, even someone who paddles. It's actually, usually, the people who have something a little different that they try out. It seems crazy to many people who are used to something normal that actually have reached that place where there's something new. There's that tree that looks wonderfully beautiful because it's not perfectly symmetrical. It's got a little cluster out here that makes it interesting with this one over here. So grow strong, I tell you, and have a good night. We're almost done. The temperature's dropping. Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you everyone for coming, and we really appreciate your durability. The young artists for tonight are Elsie Dombeck, Audrey Dombeck. The harp soloist was Rachel Rigsby. Yes, fantastic music. The Chips Off the Street, who are, by the way, staying around to sign autographs after the show, are Sophie, Nava Powell, and Julia Ricks. Yay, clapping is allowed. The Sound Bites Band is Todd Powell on piano and arrangement. Stacy Powell arranged trumpet parts for Pink Panther. Byron Ricks played the trumpet, and Maren Van Ostrand, myself, played the drums. Raleigh Wilson on guitar and voice. Raleigh Wilson's father, J.D. Wilson, on the trombone. Dan Horn on the Ilian pipe. And we had Robert Petrie on voice. Woo! Wow. Byron Ricks was on dulcimer. Then we have a soundboards team, which helps keep things running smoothly. Rhoda Bezdacek on door sales. We love you, Rhoda. John Coates, our master podcaster.
Johnny.
We have Tristan Lockard, who made this fantastic chili, which you must help us eat. That's a requirement before you leave. Tristan Lockard, concessions. We had a light bulb changing team step out of the woodwork tonight. It was Robert and Royce Rigsby. Say that 100 times really fast. John Coates, John Kraft, and Todd Powell all came together. How many people at Sound Falls does it take to change a light bulb? We found 7 people at Sound Falls it takes to change a light bulb. Stacy Powell did the advertising design poster. Todd Powell did the photography for the design poster. Roger Thorson decided to continue to own this property, which we are very grateful for. Raleigh Wilson did some heavy lifting before the show. Byron Ricks is the inspiration, the humor, production, and development of this show. Happy birthday, Byron. Lauren Bonostra and myself as director, organizer, and production. Okay, so I would also like to thank the Cheney Foundation for continued support, and you can actually make contributions, tax-deductible contributions, to Sound Falls by through the Cheney Foundation in support of this show. And you can also learn about all the following shows on soundfalls.org. Our next show is, I believe, May 5th. It's the first Saturday in May, and it's Claudia Schmidt is coming back. She's all the way from Michigan, and if you've seen her or heard about her, she performs in front of thousands of people. I am very glad to have you all here. Thanks again, and enough of this.
Thank
Good
you.
Good night. Tomorrow. Stay warm. And I am very grateful to you.